Psalm 51. It's a wonderful psalm, a psalm of tears, a psalm of triumph, a psalm of grief, and a psalm of grace, a psalm of failure, and a psalm of forgiveness, a psalm of absolute remorse, but also of rejoicing. David fell, and by Psalm 51, he's in terrible shape. He's tried to ignore his sin. He's tried to cover up his sin. And nothing's helped. Nothing's worked. And he has finally gotten to the end of his rope. And he, in this psalm, cries out to the Lord for forgiveness and claims that forgiveness and gets that forgiveness and then walks in that forgiveness. And what a message that is. Look in verse 4, sort of jump into our thought for this evening. He's speaking to the Lord. He says, "Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." He says, "I have sinned against you." He's not saying I didn't sin against people. But what he's saying is, "I see my sin so devastating to you, and how it hurt you and broke your heart, God, that's all I can see right now. And what you do to me, you are justified in doing. In whipping me, I deserve it. In hurting me, I deserve it." He says, "In breaking my bones, in essence, you have given me what I deserve." But one thing about this psalm is we find that David learned some things. He found out some things. And literally, even though he took a big back set, much of what he had learned and what he put in his heart and life, what he applied to his life by learning from this failure, advanced him in his walk with the Lord. In our walk with the Lord, we hopefully are making progress. We take a step forward. We take another step forward. Hopefully we're maturing. Hopefully we know more than we did last year. Hopefully we're closer to the Lord than we were last year. Hopefully we're more mature as far as just our walk with Him and our ability to avoid and overcome temptation than we were last year. Hopefully we're making progress, but there's no doubt we all know that we all do fail. I hope we don't fall like David did, that tragic, that severe. But we all will fall. We don't have to, but we will. We all will fail. But what's the tragic thing is so many times when we do fail, we don't learn from it. We literally fall backwards. You've heard the old saying, one step forward and two steps back. So many times that's true in our lives. And how tragic that is. But if we can do what David did, boy, now he paid, there's no doubt. But he did learn and he did apply to his life some principles that ended up helping him. I am not saying for a second that sin is justifiable or sin is good or helpful, but our learning from our failures can be good. My thought this evening is this: falling forward. I want to try to preach this evening on falling forward. Now, if I'm walking and some reason I lose my balance and I fall backward, I have lost progress. I have lost my progress has been hindered. I'm not as far down the road as I was. But if I also lose my balance and fall forward, I have made some progress. And this evening, I'm trying to get this thought across to us and impart this truth to us that even our failures can be progress. And even through our failures, we can learn something to help us to where it'll be better for us in the long run. Now, there's no doubt, one of the ugly realities of life is the fact that we will fail. We will fall. There's no doubt. But failure does not mean finality. Failure does not mean we've lost and there's no need to get hope or no need to get help. We just will forget it and give up. We can learn from our failures, and I hope that's what we're going to do. Now, the one person who hasn't failed is the person who's never tried. If you try to walk with the Lord and try and serve Him, you will fail and you will fall. Just ask people like Abraham. Back up and ask Adam. Ask Abraham. Ask our brother David that we're looking at tonight. What about Peter? So many through the Bible. We find Moses failed. There's no doubt people do fail. But I hope even our failures can be something that will help us to learn that we can progress even through our failures. Success does not mean we lack failure or we never fail. But what it means is in our failures, we learn something to help us better the next time. It's one thing to fail, but it's something else to not learn from that failure to where we fall into the same trap again and go through the same misery again. One of the greatest things that could happen to us, now listen to this. One of the greatest things that could happen to us is that we would learn how to not fail. But if we do, we learn how to not fail again. At least this trap doesn't get me next time. That temptation doesn't get me next time. That problem doesn't overcome me next time. I want to say this evening, there can be grace after grief. There can be victory after misery. There can be success after failure. There can be deliverance after disobedience. There can be power after pain. Let's look at the life of David and the situation here. Can I mention first, the pattern is obvious. I suppose you understand Psalm 51 is the result of the deal with Bathsheba and Uriah. And the problem with David is exactly the problem with us. First, he was lazy. He was not at battle where he should have been. He was at home taking it easy. And when we fall and when we fail, it always starts with us not doing what we should do. So the pattern is very obvious. It starts with laziness. He was lazy. But then he looked. He looked upon a woman, and instead of turning his head immediately, he next lusted. And he desired. That inner nature took over. And instead of turning away and avoiding the temptation, he gave in. So he was lazy and he looked and he lusted and then he learned. And that's the exact pattern of failure in our lives. We're not doing what we should do. And then the devil puts a temptation in front of us, no matter what it might be. I'm not just talking about the type of sin that David fell into. But we give in to the flesh and don't say no to the flesh. We don't say yes to the Spirit. And we give in and we fail. And so many times we fall into the same trap over and over and over. And we don't learn from our failure. The pattern is obvious. And it develops in us a pattern of failure. That's why some people have a marriage that doesn't work out. They get out of that one. They get into another one. The same problems arise in the second marriage as the first. And sometimes the third and the fourth and the fifth, because those patterns of failure have not been broken. That's why some people in businesses fail from one business to the other. That pattern of failure is not broken. That's why so many times so people fall into the same type of the pattern of sin, because that pattern of failure is not broken. They keep doing the same thing over and over. And if we keep doing the same thing over and over, we're going to fail. So we need to break that chain. We need to plan ahead. We need to say no now. It says this in 2 Peter 3:17, "Ye therefore, beloved, when you, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." He said, you better watch out, because the devil is trying to hinder your progress. The pattern is obvious. Could I mention, secondly, the power is offered. David didn't have to fall. Now, he was confronted with a severe temptation. He, more or less, the devil attacked exactly where David's weakness, no doubt, was. So for him to have said no would have been something only God could have done through him. But you know what? It could have happened. God would have given David the power to say no. Or God would have given him the strength to turn and walk away had he leaned on the Lord and trusted him. And if that's true of David, so it is with us. David didn't have to, and we don't have to. David didn't have to fall, and neither do we. 1 Corinthians 10:13, still in the book, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, but with your able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He says, I will make a way, and I have power to give you. We can break the pattern. We can resist the temptation. We can say no to sin. We can be victorious. Even if that is an inbred pattern. You know, a lot of the problems we have is because of the nature we have within us that we got from our parents and grandparents and grandparents and grandparents. It's the issues of life that we have to deal with every day. And it's not just the fact that we're being tempted, but we have that flaw, if you will, in every one of us. Every one of us have that type of nature that we have been inbred, and it has inbred it in us. And we have to deal with it every day. And that pattern needs to be broken, and God has given us the power to do it. Here's what Paul said. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers his own question very quickly. God forbid. He said, no way. We who are saved do not have to live in sin. We who are saved do not have to give in to sin. Sin does not have to dominate us. He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And when Jesus died and rose again, we died and rose again with him. And therefore that provided the victory that we need. He has given us power over sin. We don't have to fail. Oh, I mentioned this morning we have power over death. We have power to live. We don't just have power to die. We have power to live. The power has been provided. The power is offered. I mentioned first, the pattern is obvious. Same thing over and over. And we fall into the things over and over. And I also mentioned the power is offered. We don't have to. The God of heaven lives in us. But then thirdly, the problem is overcome. David does get victory finally. It took him a while to admit his fault. It took him a while for God to get him to the bottom. It took him a while before he finally said, yes, it's me. I am the man. I did wrong. But God brought him there, and he confessed, and he didn't get victory. He did never, ever completely get over his failure. God said, the sword will not depart from your house, and it didn't. But he did get victory, and he did walk on, and God did use him mightily after his failure. He did progress. Could I say it like this? He fell forward. And I'm sure glad that he did. He got victory. He got a question, how did he? Got another question, how can I? How can I not fall again? How can I not fail again? How can my failures... Listen, did you hear what I said? How can I not fall again? How can I not fail again? Do you hear what I'm saying? That word again suggests that I have already fallen. And so have you. There are times we all will fall. There are times we all will give in to temptation. There are times we all will do the wrong thing. But my question tonight is, how do I make sure I don't do it again? That means, how do I learn from my failure to where when it comes again, I don't fail again? How can I fall forward? How can this be a thing of progress to me? How can this be something that will end up helping me and not hurting me? That's what I'm talking about. I hope you got it, because I can't explain it any further. How can I get to victory? Well, first, don't ignore the scripture this time. More or less, that's what David did. He ignored the word of God. He didn't have the whole Bible like we do. And he didn't have an excuse. He knew what God said. He was very much aware of what God's will was between him and that woman. He knew what God had said, and he had to ignore what God said to do what he did. And so do we. When we fail, we are ignoring the scripture. We are ignoring what God said. We know what he said. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. But if we fail, we do it anyway. This time, learn from the last time, learn from the failure, fall forward, let it be a thing of progress, let it be helpful this time. Don't ignore the scripture this time. Listen to God's word. Don't ignore the scripture this time. I need to even back up and say, that means since I failed, let's say I failed last week, and I don't want to fail again, I want to learn from that failure. I want that failure somehow to be beneficial. I can't go back and undo it. I can't pretend it didn't happen because it did. So what can I do to make that failure a progress? How can I fall forward? Well, today I need to realize, to make sure I don't fall like I did, I'm going to read this Bible. I'm going to see what God says. I'm going to beg him to speak to me, because I know the devil's got another trap. I know my flesh is still flesh. And just like I failed last week, I will fail today if I don't get this word in me. This Bible promises to give me strength if I get it in me. This Bible promises to help me if I take it in. I let God speak to me today to where I won't fail like I did. Don't ignore the scripture this time. But when the devil attacks, give him the word of God. You know, that's what Jesus did. The Son of God used the Word of God against the devil. We are to use it as a shield, defense. When he speaks lies to us, we say, no, this is what the Word says. This is what the Word says. And it'll quench those fiery darts of temptation and dread. We use the Word of God as a shield, a defense. But we also use the Word of God as a sword, offense. That's what Jesus did. Don't ignore the scripture this time. I want to learn from that failure. It grieves me that I failed him, but I can't undo it. I can't erase it. I can't pretend it didn't happen. But this time, I want to be successful. I want to fall forward if I'm going to fall. Don't ignore the scripture this time. Listen, don't ignore the spirit this time. When David looked, he knew what God had said. You're not supposed to lust at a woman. That woman's not yours. She belongs to somebody else. But not only did the scripture say it's wrong, the spirit inside him said it's wrong. The Holy Spirit said, No, David. You know that's wrong, David. You know that's not yours, David. You know it'll end up in hardship, David. The Holy Spirit spoke to David, and he had to ignore the Spirit for him to sin. He had to shun the Spirit for him to sin. And so do we. I promise you, if you're saved, if we start listening to temptation or start giving in to temptation, we start doing something we shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit will say, oh no, that's wrong, that'll grieve me, that'll hurt you. We have to ignore the spirit to sin. We have to ignore the spirit to fall. Now, last week I did. In my little story this evening, last week I did fail. Last week I did fall. So I ignored him then. I don't want to ignore him now. I don't want to shun him now. He tried to help me then. He tried to help me to not sin. He tried to help me to where I wouldn't experience all this misery I've faced this week. He tried to help me then, and he's trying to help me now. Don't ignore the Spirit now. This time, don't ignore the Spirit. I'm saying we need to learn from our failure. We need to fall forward where it literally will be a progress and a help to us. Don't ignore the Scripture this time. Don't ignore the Spirit this time. Number three, don't ignore the sin this time. I promise you, in Psalm 51, and if we just talked with David personally, he would have said this: sin costs too much. I'd never do it. If I had a chance, I'd never do it again. Oh, my flesh was pleased. My flesh was tantalized. Oh, there's no doubt there's pleasure in sin for a season. But he said the price is too high. Oh, my heart has been broken. My body has been just ramshacked. I'm sick now. I'm weak now. My testimony has been ruined. I've hurt my family. I've hurt my country. More than anything else, I've hurt my God. And I want to say, last week I failed. And last week I ignored the fact that it was sin. I looked at it as just something to have a good time, to do what I wanted to do. But I didn't realize how sinful it was and how hurtful it was. This time, I don't want to ignore the sin. I don't want to ignore the sin this time. I don't want to fail again. I hope I have learned something from last week's failure to help me not fail today. I want to fall forward. That sin won't be worth it. It'll break my fellowship with my Lord, for one thing. And that means my peace will be gone, my joy will be gone, my desire will be gone, the power I have with Him will be gone. I'll grieve Him, it'll hurt Him, He'll weep. It's not just the fact of me doing what I want to do, but there's a relationship, there's a fellowship I need to consider between me and Him. And when I sin, it hurts Him. Don't ignore that sin. Call it what it is. It's not just fun. It's not just a mistake. It is sin. We need to call it as it is. Don't ignore the sin this time. Realize while I'm being tempted, it's going to cost me more than I want to pay. It'll keep Him from answering my prayer. And what's going to happen if tragedy strikes my house? It's going to happen if one of my children get in a wreck and I need to get a hold of God quickly. And I go to Him and I think, oh no, I can't pray now, not in this shape. What's going to happen if something terrible happens to the church family and I run to God and I say, oh my, first I need to apologize, Lord. We need to remember why we're being tempted. It's going to cost more than we want to pay. Remember the sin then. Don't ignore the sin then. This time, don't ignore the sin. It's going to cost me my testimony. It's going to cost me so. It's going to cost me more than I want to pay. Remember that as you're being tempted. This time, don't give in. So let me give them a long conclusion and say what we need to do. First, recognition. Don't offer excuses. Don't try and blame others. Don't try and say it's just a little blunder, a little mistake. Recognize it to be what it is. It is dirty, rotten sin. Even a little sin is sin. We need to recognize. We need to acknowledge. We need to accept the blame. I offer no excuses. I do not sugarcoat it. It is sin. It is rotten. It is grieving God. Admit what it is. It is sin dark and it grieves Him. Here's what James says. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy into heaviness. Recognition. Let's say I do fall again. I did last week, and now I have again. I have again. Immediately recognize I did fail. I did give in. I have fallen again. But immediately confess it right then. Don't ignore it. Don't try and shun it. Don't try and think of something else. Admit it immediately. Recognition. Recognizing I did fail, and if I did, I've done it again. David didn't do that. It took him, the best I can figure, about a year. A year of misery. A year of hardship. A year of running from God. But boy, when God cornered him, he cornered him good. I'm saying, listen, you may fail again, but recognize it is sin. I need to confess it. I don't need to quit. I don't need to get discouraged. I don't need to throw in the towel. I don't need to say I'm a failure. I'll never get this worked out. Confess it then. Get right with God. Accept his forgiveness and go on down the road. You know what you've done? You have just fallen forward. You have learned from your failure to not let failure stop you. And that's what I'm saying. We're going to fail. Don't have to, but we will. But when we fail, we need to realize how to handle it rightly. It's like a little child walking. A little child learning to walk falls down many times. They jump back up and try again. That's what we got to do. You may be a 53-year-old in the Lord and still falling. Just get back up. Fall forward. The first thing, recognition. Realize it is sin. I have fallen. I'm going to get right. Number two, resolve. I am going to resolve in my heart to learn. I'm going to resolve in my heart to get this right. Before I go to heaven, I'm going to get this right. Don't expect it to be easy. In fact, it's probably going to be harder. Once you resolve in your heart with God's help, I will not fall again. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not going to fall again. Well, you think the devil's going to let that go? Of course not. You think the flesh is going to retire because you say that? Of course not. Realize it's going to be hard. It isn't going to be easy. Remember, your temptations are stronger than you, and you need help from God, but you have help from God. Resolve to do what God says to do. Here's what David said. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. For I am weak. Oh God, if you don't help me, I'm so weak. I will give in again. I will fail again and do worse. I need you. Resolve in your heart with God's help. I'm going to walk with him. I said it already. It's not just temptation so many times, but that inbred issue of us. And our nature and our bloodstream, our bloodline. So it's a pattern, there's a habit, there's a part of our nature. We need to admit our need. Until we admit our need, we'll never improve. Until we see how much we need God and we see our weakness, we'll never improve. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about improvement, progress, maturing, walking with God. We'll never get help until we give our need to God. Oh, God, I can't. I can't. I can't. I know me. I don't have the strength. I don't even want to. If you don't give me the desire, I won't even want to be victorious. I won't even want to do your will. Oh, God, I come to you. I give you myself. I give you my need. I give you this problem. I give you this issue. I give it to you. Resolve. I'm going to do it God's way. Surrender by faith and know he has taken what you have given you, given him. I'm one of his. I don't have to fail. And then another word, recognition and resolve, but also repentance. I've already touched on this, but I'll touch on it again. When you fail, you hear what I said? I didn't say if we fail. I said when we fail, because we will again. We don't have to, and the burden of my heart, the burden of this message is we don't. But we will. So when we do, don't let it get to you. No, I'm not saying don't let it bother you. It ought to rip our heart out that we did it again. I did it again. It ought to burden us. We ought to weep. But what am I going to do? Walk on in that failure? Refuse to confess? Refuse to repent? Try to hide from God? You reckon that's going to work? Try to run from Him and hope He doesn't notice? You reckon that plan is going to work? Of course not. The best plan we can have is to repent. Even though I did do wrong again, and I hurt Him again, and I fell in the trap again. Oh, repent immediately. As soon as you realize you did wrong, repent immediately. That's what David did. He didn't do it immediately, but here's what he said. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Deal with it. Repent, confess, accept His forgiveness, and keep on walking. You know what you just did? You fell forward. You fell forward. You fail. You failed. But you learned from that failure. And it became a progress. And then the last thing, not only recognition and resolve and repentance, but restoration. I love the far out of this. Verse 8, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He says, will you have mercy on me? I know I don't deserve it. Oh, I deserve your judgment. I deserve these broken bones, spiritual broken bones. I deserve this sickness that's in my body right now. Tradition tells us that David died with a venereal disease, or died with a venereal disease, not because of it, but with one. There's scripture that point that out. And he says, I'm getting what I deserve. But oh God, will you have mercy on me? Boy, I want to tell you what. He is calling for a restoration. Look at verse 10. Create in me a clean spirit, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. O God, I've repented and I've confessed, but I'm asking you to restore in me. Oh, make my heart clean again. I remember those days that I walked with you and my heart was toward you, and you even said I had a heart toward you. I want those days again. I want my clean heart. I want a right spirit. I want a desire to serve you and walk with you and please you. Restore me. You know what he did? God did it. And God will restore you. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Been a year since he had felt that, but it came back. And then he says in verse 13, God's going to use me. Look at this. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. He said, when you get me fully right and you restore me, I'll be able to teach transgressors thy way. You know what? He's saying, I'll be able to tell your people, don't do what I did. Don't do what I did. Oh, I failed. But you don't have to. Take it from experience. Take it from somebody who knows, David said. You don't want to go down that path. It's too hard. It's too hurtful. It cost you too much. He said, if you'll help me get right, you'll restore me, I'll be able to be used by you to help somebody to not do what I did. I'll teach transgressors your ways. But that ain't all he said. He said, I'll be a help to your people. But that ain't all he said. Look on in that verse 13. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. I not only will let you use me, help your people, but you can use me to reach lost people. David knows God's going to restore me to where it's not just right between me and Him again, but He'll be able to use me. He'll be able to use me. He'll be able to use me. I want to say tonight, He is faithful, but I am not. He is always right, but I am not. He never makes a mistake or a blunder. I make many. He never fails, but I do. He does not want us to sin. He does not want us to fail. But if we do, He wants us to fall forward. In other words, learn from that failure to where we've literally been helped. Am I suggesting failing on purpose? Of course not. Man, a lie. Sometimes the best teacher we can have, I say this carefully, it's failure, if we learn from it. One thing for sure, if we fail and don't learn, we got to go through the same process again. It's bad enough to fail, it's bad enough to fall, but it's worse to not learn. If you wonder what I'm talking about tonight, here's what it is. Here's my message in two words: imperfect progress. I have progress if I fall forward, but I ain't there yet. But at least I'm better than I was. I ain't going backwards. I didn't fall backwards. I may have fallen. I may have fallen. I may have failed. But at least I got help. Imperfect progress. I still got a long way to go. But at least I got some help. I'll say it again. I'm done. I'm not giving any of us permission to sin. As Paul said, God forbid that. Realize we are human. We're never going to be perfect. But he wants us to progress every day. If I fall, I want to fall forward. I want him to teach me. Or maybe next time I won't even fall. Or if I fall, it won't be as severe or as long. And it won't cost as much. To where I am progressing in perfect progress, but progress. Let's stand together.